Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bam!
Oh, oosh!
We're back.
Can I tell people about your pants?
Yeah, of course.
So we recommended a very long time ago. Mm. God, first step, I made you put bamboo socks on.
You made me put socks on my feet that were made of bamboo.
Yeah, and you loved them. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've gone from socks to pants.
Yeah.
And Christmas and birthdays, you get your bam socks and your bam pants. And sometimes when he wakes up in the morning and he puts on his pants, he's like, bam! Too much information?
No. I just love the word bam.
It's like bam! Got my pants on.
It's bam.
Bam! Socks are on.
And then I've got some other pants that say bonds. And then I got up and went, bonds!
Yeah, like James Bonds.
Yeah.
Love it.
Plural. I'm tweaking with the sound a little bit. We haven't done this for a while.
But also, I was shouting a lot. I'm not going to be shouting like
maybe
that.
Maybe it's peaking.
Going forward,
peaking
I was just peaking a lot because I was bamming.
I'm quite sure how to make it
look,
peak.
It's not peaking anymore.
Yeah, that's probably better.
It's just because we're talking. I just got very excited because of the bam bams.
That's the volume or not. Anyway, there we go. How is everybody? I hope you're all right. I mean, obviously, we can't hear you, so you don't have to answer that question quite literally.
Yeah, but they might be answering it on their dog walks.
How do you feel? Are you feeling all right? I hope so.
Well, in fact, this week is important.
Why?
Well, asking people how they feel because on the 10th, actually this comes out on the 2nd, so it might be the week
after. Okay.
But I'm going to start in the run up to it.
Yeah.
Because on the 10th of September is a worldwide suicide prevention day.
Really?
Yes. And obviously, there's the documentary that's just come out about Caroline Flack, and they had Flackstock in the summer, and that was a really, really terribly sad.
Yeah. It was great to see how many people got involved in Flackstock.
Yeah. It was a brilliant event, and also with a very, very kind of strong message to it. But my choices today are kind of loosely based around trying to help your mental health.
Oh, very good. Mm. I was going to say something in relation to that. Oh, no. It's like, you know, when you talked about something really serious and I just had a trigger for something trivial.
Oh, yes.
And I was just about to say it and thought,
this is not the time.
It's probably not the time. But one of the things I was going to say, you said it's Worldwide Suicide Prevention Day.
Yes.
And came into my mind that Pearl Jam have a song called Worldwide Suicide. You know, when you think, I know a song about that. And then I thought, that's not the song.
Now.
You know, like it's. So anyway, it's not a recommendation, that song, of course, unless you like Pearl Jam, but it is a good song. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, the whole mental health thing. We've been in Ibiza for a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very good for my mental health. Being in the sun and then having some time to relax. And then
I think also sometimes meeting new people and letting your hair down a bit and us relaxing. But I think the thing about suicide, I posted something, I think it was from Mind, the charity Mind, who are brilliant, a brilliant charity, as are Samaritans.
Calm is another big one, yeah.
But I was thinking about a post that they'd posted, which showed the last video of people's phones of people who had taken their own lives.
Oosh! Yeah,
and they were all really happy.
Yeah.
And really smiling.
Mm.
And this just goes to show that people who are suicidal, generally speaking, quite often are not in bed nonstop, totally depressed. Sometimes they will look really happy because they've made a decision to do something, like take their own lives, which is so sad. But if it's somebody who has tried for a very long time or has thought about it for a very long time, there can be some kind of weird sense of joy about deciding
as a relief
to do it.
You've made a good decision,
Joe Tracini, I'm never quite sure how to say
it. I like Tracini myself.
Tracini.
Yeah.
He has written a book, mm-hmm. and he wrote me a little letter that goes with the book.
Yeah.
And he's written some things, and it's called 10 Things I Hate About Me. I'm going to tell you a bit about him in a minute. It publishes on September the 8th, which is 2 days before World Suicide Prevention Day. And if you read it and don't hate it, he said, I'd be massively grateful to help letting people know about it. Lots of love, Joe. P.S. Please don't kill yourself. P.S. I got a call from the manufacturer to check everything was okay when I asked for this message. P.P.S. This is a bit from the beginning of the book. And the thing is that, hello, you know, how are you? Okay, fine, how are you? Is like, that's how far us checking in goes.
Yes.
You know, like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. But we don't tell, and we don't get to a place where we explicitly let someone know, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because they'll just go, how are you? Fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And this is what I think is really interesting. And he says, well, fuck that. As a society, we need to get much better at having conversations about suicide before someone does it. I haven't read all of it because I've only just got it, but mm-hmm. I really wanted to get it out before September the 8th. So yeah. I thought I'd talk about it here. But
great.
I really like what he did. We recommended yes. him on our podcast in lockdown yeah. because he did those hilarious dance tutorials. Mm. But he is a very interesting person because he has borderline personality disorder. And I didn't really know anything about that until I watched his videos. And he literally will have conversations with himself. And he has a very dark side of himself mm-hmm. and a very funny, happy side of himself. And 15% of people with BPD, sorry, actually die by suicide, and 40% try.
Bloody hell.
So he's already in the 40% mm. and his job is to keep out of the 15 mm. and he tries to explain a little bit about what life's like when you have a brain that is essentially trying to kill you every single day mm. and what to do. He'd done everything that he was told to do, but he still thought about killing himself every single day. Anyway, he wrote this book to save his life, and even if there's the smallest chance that him telling us mm-hmm. what he did and how he did it helps open a space where somebody else might not do mm-hmm. it, or we might recognise something in someone else who's happy.
Well, there's a safety in numbers issue, mm. I think, as well, isn't there, is the fact that when you realise other people feel like you,
mm.
that comes as a comfort in many ways and mm. can just be a small reason not to go ahead with doing something really, mm. really catastrophic, catastrophic, sorry.
And it's also like for some people, I mean, obviously Joe's living with a personality disorder, which mm-hmm. is the big thing that he struggles with. But for people who genuinely are people who have just slowly over time come to a point where they don't want to live anymore,
mm-hmm.
like what can we do? Like how can you get in there, and how do you know?
Yeah. Life is quite a hard sell, really, mm. isn't it? You know, when somebody's made a decision to go, it's quite a difficult thing to convince them otherwise.
Do you know anybody that's killed themselves? A friend?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, it took me a while to remember then. But, mm. Yes. In his back garden.
Mm.
Mm. It's quite an astonishing thing. You know, it's breathtaking, really. You know, life is a difficult sell because it's largely kind of hard work, and it's an uphill struggle for many, many people. Well, I would have thought almost for everybody at some point.
But it's a loss of hope. It's a belief that mm. life would be better without you in it. Like
yes,
a real
the, yes.
real hand on her. It's not the, just a poor me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other people's lives.
The
would
other
be
people's lives would
from
be
you not
better.
Being around.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that's so.
Mm. That's worth just letting people know that your life is fuller and more enjoyable because they're in it.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. It's interesting. I've been going through some older music recently that I haven't listened to for a while. And there's the first Tim Minchin album is called, I think it's called I Am So Fucking Rock or something like that. I don't know if you remember it or not. It's a live album from his Edinburgh show. But there's a really good song on it called Not Perfect.
Yes, I do remember it.
You know, Tim Minchin's one of the people that kind of inspired me to want to play the piano, really, because he's so good at it. And I thought, and he didn't seem to be classically trained. He just seemed to play it and then got better at it. And I thought, I'll have a go at that. But that was always one song that I thought of his that I could play because it's quite straightforward. I think it's just three major chords. Mm. There's nothing really fancy in it, but there's some nice words in it. But I listened to it yesterday, maybe four or five times, one after the other, and tears blinked out of my eyes on two occasions because the particular thing, I don't know if anyone's not heard the song, it's called Not Perfect, and it's on the So Fucking Rock live album. And I think he does it again on his second album after that as well, and it comes in the encore. But the song starts about the earth, and he says, this is my earth and I live in it, and it's two-thirds dirt and one-third water and blah, blah, blah. And then it says, this is my house, and then it says, this is my body, and then it says, this is my brain. And it's critical of all things, but it's the idea that all these things aren't perfect, but they are at least mine. But the line about his body is very good, because he basically just says, you know, I spend so much time hating it, yet it never says a bad word about me.
Oh.
And there's, you know, there's just something about that. You have this kind of odd relationship with your own body and your own mind where you really kind of dislike
it,
but actually it can be quite nice to you and quite kind to you, and you treat it often with such disrespect. And that's what I also love about the Baz Luhrmann song, where it says, you know, it says something about your body. It's the greatest organ you'll ever own. You know, please don't abuse it too much, you know.
Do you know Chessie King?
Yeah, yeah.
Chessie King came to do a talk at my kid's school. And the first thing that she got everybody to do was to write a love letter to their bodies. And, you know, there must be things that you're grateful to it for, like, has it achieved anything? Does it get you to school every day? Does it run fast? Does it laugh a lot? Like, you know, write your body a love letter. And I thought, God, what? And that made me cry, thinking about, like, thanking your body for the things that it's achieved.
There's lots of things I don't like about my body. But I'm 50 next birthday, and I do think, bloody hell, it's in pretty good shape, really.
You look great, but you are funny. Like, you know, it's not just women that have...
Oh, God, not at all, no.
Issues, I mean, like, with the way that they look, I think.
Yeah, there's all sorts of bits I absolutely hate about it. But, you know, what it's like over the years, I've grown to...
Yes,
to
love
quite
it.
Appreciate it
more.
And love all sorts of bits about it. I'm not going to post a picture of it. You don't need to see it. Mind you, you took a very good picture of me on holiday.
God. No, we've got to post that.
I'll have to think about it.
No, we've got to post that. You looked amazing.
It's too sexy.
It's not, I mean, the listeners would really appreciate it.
I'm not sure I could expose myself
you look
to that
fine.
Extent. But yeah, I was
like,
amazed.
When I say when fine, you, I mean the American, like, so fine.
So fine. Yeah, I was amazed when I saw it. I thought, God, is that me? Well, looks pretty good, doesn't it?
I suddenly just had a thought that I didn't quite put Joe Tricini in context.
Yes.
That he's Joe Pasquale's... son, and that he was he's done lots and lots of acting,
yes,
and that he's been in Hollyoaks, and he's
in his own right, he's very kind of successful,
he's extremely successful, he's a comedian, he's a writer. Just
and
wanted to
following
say that.
On Instagrams and
he's
all the
really
other
worth
pieces.
A follow,
he really is. I totally agree, he's hugely entertaining and he's doing a fantastic job. My recommendation really is going to listening to old music at the moment. So the other thing I did, I found a thing on Instagram where it's a guy who's got a really old, cool stereo. So he's got a record player and tape decks and valve amps and speakers and all the rest of it. And he plays old cassettes on there or 8-track things and all the rest of it. And he played, you might not like this, but he played Simply Red's Holding Back the Years on an 8-track. Now, I loved Simply Red in the 80s. I mean, I had dreadlocks and
you
I used
did.
To wear a leather waistcoat.
We've got to post a picture of this.
I wanted
as well.
To be ginger.
You wanted to be ginger.
Yeah. And I used to go and see him play all the time, anywhere, in little clubs in Manchester and all sorts of places. You know, I would travel everywhere to go and see him. I really liked him. And then, of course, what happens one day is you just switch off from it and you think, I've grown out of it now and it's gone. And I've never really listened to it since, I don't suppose,
that
you
was
know,
a
for
great
a very
track.
Long time.
That was a very, very, very good track.
And all of a sudden, I thought,
I love
I've got
that
to go
track.
And listen to it. So I put it on, and it is such a good song, Holding Back the Years. And I don't know if you know anything about Mick Hucknall or not, but his mum left him and his dad when he was a baby. So he was raised by his dad, who was a barber, interestingly. They were very, very poor, you know, and I think he always slightly longed for his mother, you know. And of course, when you listen to the song, you hear it all in there. You know, he's waiting for the arms of Mater and, you know, talking about how his dad would discipline him and stuff like that. And, you know, he was only a very young man when he wrote the song, but it's a really good song. So I ended up putting on the greatest hits of Simply Red in the car the other day. And I mean, there are a few turkeys in there, obviously, but the feelings of nostalgia were so overwhelming. They took me back to 1990, 1991, you know, sweeping the floor in the hair salon as the Stars record was on non-stop in those days. And it was really good. So my first recommendation is to go and listen to a record that you've not listened to for 20 or 30 years. Mm. The big trick is to not listen to it too much because you reassign new thoughts and memories to it. So you can only really listen to it once and that's it. But, oh, God, it was so good. It made me feel like sick almost.
Like I think also like I've been in a time machine. In terms of mental health, it's quite nice to... Nostalgia's extremely healing.
Lots of people say they don't like nostalgia, but I think they're lying. I don't think there's anything not to like about it. And I mean, obviously...
that's an issue in itself if you're not happy to look back.
Mm.
There must be moments where...
But you can see where you've come from and how far you've come and the things you've done and just how... And it also gives you an idea that things change all the time. Mm. So if you're in a bad spot at the moment... Looking at nostalgia or looking back at things, you realise that things move on, everything moves on. That's that old Persian saying, this too shall pass, is probably one of the greatest, the greatest sayings that you could ever hold on to, really, because everything passes.
Mm.
But anyway, it was really good. And then also the old Tim Minchin record, I listened to that probably 8 or 9 years ago. And that also brought back some lots of great memories. So go and listen to something old from your past, whether it's Simply Red or whether it's an old U2 album or whether it's Salt and Pepper, Let's Talk About Sex.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was always on its salon as well.
I'm going to talk about a book in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I thought because I just talked about a book, I'm going to talk about something else. And this... isn't necessarily going to help your mental health, but Chester showed me this Instagram account, and he's called Thomas Straker. Have you heard about him?
I don't think so.
He's a chef from Straker's in London, which is a restaurant.
Okay.
And he is on Instagram under Thomas_Straker.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, for a chef, like, you haven't heard of him?
No, never heard of him. I hadn't heard of him.
714,000 followers on Instagram.
Good Lord.
Now, he is the thing that got me going, because Chester, what would you say is my naughtiest, most favourite thing?
Pasta.
What do I have too much of? And you always go, oh my God, how much of that?
Oh, butter.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's outrageous.
Outrageous. So yeah. Chester showed me this account because he was like, oh my God, you are going to absolutely love this account. Right. Look at this. Oh. So Thomas Straker has got this little thing called All Things Butter, where he makes butter, but all different types of butter. So here he's made berry butter. So it's got raspberries, blackberries, sugar, and
butter.
And butter. And then he gets some brioche and he does French toasts the brioche.
Oh,
puts some normal butter in, French toasts it.
So he's frying.
Then he puts some berry syrup on it.
Yeah.
Then he puts some icing sugar on it. And then he gets the spoonful of butter and he does this thing with the spoon and the butter.
Like a scoop, isn't it?
He does a scoopy thing, which absolutely freaks me out that a chef does. Do you know what this butter is? It's caramelized pecan and maple burnt butter. Yeah, shut up. I mean,
that sounds really
up. I mean, he is butter king and peri peri butter. Shut up. On the chicken, peri butter, peri butter on the chicken. I mean, he's amazing. And can I tell you who else has followed? Everything that I like.
Yeah.
What Willie Cook got there before me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's obviously a chef's chef. But, oh, my God, Thomas_Straker, you and your butter are killing me.
On the subject of Instagram accounts, I have got one that I really like. He's a yoga guy. Now, you know I don't do
you
yoga.
You don't do yoga.
No. And, you know, and I'm not even that interested in yoga, really. But I do like the idea of, like, taking a bit of time
and
for yourself
and
thinking and
staying
and stuff like
supple.
That. So you might have come across this guy before. He is called Yoga Brian. Familiar with Yoga Brian?
I am not familiar with Yoga Brian.
I'm gonna just play you a bit of Yoga Brian. He instantly made me think, oh, I like this guy. This is the yoga guy I want.
Your mind's all over the place. You're like, feel like that? Yeah. Come relax with me and then you can fuck off with your day.
Oh,
all right, take a seat or lie down.
Wait, I love him.
Hey, fucker, fuckers, this is a meditation if someone that you're working with is pissing you off, or maybe your manager, or all the above, all right? So take a seat or lie the fuck down. Just relax, close your eyes. Bring your attention and awareness to your butt cheeks. You can laugh, it's okay.
Is he a joke?
No.
Awareness and attention to your butt cheeks. Start to relax.
Oh my God, I love him.
And as you relax that ass, your whole body starts to relax.
Yogi Brian, your whole body looking starts up to right settle. Now.
Yeah.
Yogi.
There's no chance.
Oh. Hey. But he's Yogi. So good, right?
Brian. Because... He's talking to people.
Talks to me in a way that I completely latch onto.
Yep.
See, there's one where he goes, okay, sit the fuck down. Sit down. Come on. It's all you need to do is sit down. So sit down. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm like,
oh, okay.
Okay, okay. And then he goes, relax. And then he goes, just fucking do it. Relax. And I'm like, okay, Yogi. And I was like, Jesus, sometimes I just need to be talked to, like...
Yeah, but also, tell me what to do.
Yes, tell me what to do.
Don't suggest or whisper or be all zen.
All right, fuckers, 3 breaths here, and then you can get the fuck on with your day. Awesome. Very easy. We're going to breathe in, 3 count. Breathe out, a 4 count. So we'll breathe in through our nose, a 3 count. Breathe out through the mouth, a 4 count. Nice. Can you do that? Yeah? Awesome. Sit the fuck down or lie down. Close your eyes.
No, shut up.
It's good,
can
right?
I just say something?
Yeah.
Also, mental health wise, he's great.
He's totally great, right? Because, if we're talking about men's mental health in particular, it's quite nice for men to kind of feel like they're surrounded by something masculine, I think. And a lot of yoga and Pilates and stuff like that can be, in many ways, feminine. Based.
Yes, I completely agree. And it feels, yoga feels like a feminine...
Yes, I guess so.
A feminine leaning. Mm. Although, a little bit like ballet, if you practice yoga as a man, Jesus, the body, the strength and the flexibility, it's amazing for your physique, but it feels like it has the potential to put men off. That's why this account...
Well,
it's so great, but also, I like him.
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
a woman.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
not
absolutely.
Alienating
no,
to
no,
women
absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely, but he's a big... He looks like a barber, basically. He's got a big beard, lots of tattoos. He's a biggish bloke, and obviously he speaks in quite an aggressive...
But he says yoga, meditation, comedy.
Yeah, so I think it's funny, basically. But
he's got 137,000 followers, and it says, helping the world release 100 billion fucks.
He's good, though, isn't he?
Which is absolutely great. This... And you can relax with Yogi Brian, sleep and meditation. Are you ready for deep and restful sleep? Are you ready to fully relax? Are you ready to unlock the power of your mind? Now is the time to go deeper. I thought it should say, now is your time to simply say, fuck you. No, now is the time for you.
But go and follow him if you fancy that. I mean, what was quite interesting is that I said to my eldest son, I said, have you seen this guy? And he went, yeah, follow him. I absolutely love him. He's great, isn't he? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. My 18-year-old son has latched on to this. So, and I don't think he would have done under any other circumstances if it wasn't someone telling him to sit the fuck down.
Yes.
And I think, okay, great. I mean, you know, language like that can really work for some people.
I absolutely loved that. Thank you. I want to talk to you about somebody I showed you earlier and you did really like him because I know that there are a lot of online therapists and there are so many people, and I'm going to name check a few that we've recommended before, that on a daily basis I get a lot from just happening across their posts as they come up on my feed.
Yeah.
One of them is Dr. Julie.
Mm-hmm.
The way that she explains... mental health issues with visuals and tools or things that she's holding, and then the way that she explains with various bullet points what to do about it is without parallel. She is brilliant at that. Another person, Ryan Holiday.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
His daily little meditations, his daily stoic chats, his daily kind of look. Something might happen to him during the day and he'll go, guys, I just want to talk to you about this. This has happened and this is what it's made me think or feel. He's very good. Mel Robbins, she is amazing.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I like her.
I am channeling my Mel Robbins when I've got my glasses on. And sometimes she'll sit in a car and she'll give you a golden nugget. And sometimes she'll be in a...
Yes.
In a seminar. Today she posted something which I thought was brilliant. You know, if you're struggling in your relationship and you're feeling like, oh, you know, I'm not that happy. She said, I'm challenging you to do something. She challenged everybody to send their partner a text and say, what can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. What can I do to make you feel better about life?
Really?
And it was more about saying, I have a part, I have a role to play in your happiness. It's not down to you to make me happy. Mm-hmm. Me being happy is hooked into my role in making other people happy, and you are my partner, and I want to, what can I, not making him happy, but what can I do to help support you?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, wow, that is just so good. Anyway, so those are the few people who we've already recommended that I would say, just if you don't already, go and follow them.
Great.
But this guy I found via Fern Cotton. Fern Cotton's Happy Place is fantastic.
Yes, because it's a good kind of resource.
I've heard of so many people
and
that I've never.
And all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
You know, we discovered an artist who we absolutely love, Emma Palmer. Mm-hmm. But Owen O'Kane, he's a Sunday Times bestseller. He's written lots of books that have been on the bestseller list. 10 Times Happier was one of his books that did extremely well. But he's got one out now called Boost Your Mood and Reduce Your Anxiety in 10 Minutes a Day, How to Be Your Own Therapist. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, times are hard, money's short, you know, you can't really, therapists are expensive. And also, if you're going to get meaningful therapy, you need to go quite a lot to go and kind of really dig deep and uncover kind of your issues. But this book is about how to get the therapist in a book. Read the pages, you become your own therapist. Mm-hmm. And it is a practice. So it's like 10 minutes a day. You know, that's how much it would take, but it will really help your mood and anxiety. Now, I don't know about you, Michael, but I feel like anxiety is an epidemic.
Yeah.
And the current political situation, not just in this country with our leaders or with money, but the worldwide is so unsettling.
Mm.
And that creates an anxiety in itself.
Yeah.
But people know that we're heading into winter. There's an enormous anxiety about fuel bills, things like that. Everybody is stressed out. It's a difficult time for everybody. But anxiety amongst young people, who, relatively speaking, you would think shouldn't have any worries at all.
It's interesting, the whole idea. The big problem is because we've got a little phone in our pocket that gives us access to everything that you could ever want or need to know, and you can ask any question. Gives you the illusion that you should know the answer to everything. And if you don't, then there's something wrong. But of course, we never know the answer to virtually anything. Nobody
at all.
Has.
We used to have to look at the Encyclopedia Britannica. Yes, it took us 5 hours to find out the answer to something.
And then you could find an answer that would change anyway. So the point being, I think, is that you have to make up most of the stuff you know, because it's impossible to know everything. So you have to just assume a bunch of stuff. Most of the anxiety comes from assuming things will go wrong or things are bad.
Yes, it's fear of the future that hasn't happened, right?
And it's completely unknown.
Yeah.
But I often try and think of the unknown turning out good.
I always say to anybody that I'm close to that's anxious, I always say when I call it the pre-mortem.
The pre-mortem.
Rather than doing a post-mortem after something's gone wrong, let's think about the things that could go wrong. What would you do if they did? So, you know, say to a kid, what is the thing that you're worried about? Okay, let's pretend that's happened. How would we cope with it?
Yes.
Okay, well, now you know that if the worst did happen, which it hasn't, and it might never,
you'd be all right.
We'd be all right.
Yeah. And that's also a Stoic idea, isn't it?
So just to say that Owen O'Kane is also on, he's done a Happy Place interview, which is amazing. He's also on Instagram under Owen O'Kane, and he does a lot of really good, solid, great bits of advice, great tips. And he talks about, in this book, about smart techniques. And just what I like about him is it's quite simple to follow. It's not incredibly wordy.
You just showed me one of his things. I thought it was brilliant.
So he has dual medical and psychotherapy training and is a former clinical lead for an NHS mental health service. So he does know his stuff, and really nice man.
Yeah.
He seems like just a lovely
person. Yes, he does seem
person.
Like a very lovely person.
Yeah.
I mean, I often think that I have been my own therapist for a long time. I spend, as you know, I talk to myself a lot.
Yeah, and when Michael talks to himself, let me just explain to our listeners. It slightly freaked me out when I first saw you do it, like 20 years ago or whatever, because I used to think, what's he doing? But he does this thing where he moves his mouth, literally, but silently talking to himself. And now I just say to Michael, you know, what are you doing? But when I say that, I mean, like, who are you presenting to?
Yeah.
What are you talking through?
Yeah.
Like, what is the scenario you're in?
Mm.
And I really enjoy finding out, like, oh, what are you through with yourself today?
I think I've created a therapist who lives inside me, essentially, and then I talk things through with him.
Is it you that you're talking to? Or
it's a version of me, I think, but it's a hypercritical version of me.
Oh, critical?
Yeah, yeah, who tells me that I could be wrong or...
Oh, I see.
You should probably not do that or that would be a bad idea. And then I would say, well, why would it be a bad idea? And then I'll say, well, these are all the reasons why I think it's bad. And I go, yeah, but maybe it's worth saying. And then they'll say, yeah, but, you know, the consequences of this might be that. You know, like, I find it very, very helpful. I mean, but I do that with my work. I do it with my, you know, my kids or virtually any situation at all, really.
You're mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Always have been.
But I did have a therapist for a while, but I did find that I got a lot more out of myself than I did the therapist.
I think the answers are within you, but sometimes you don't trust yourself, and that's the thing.
That's the therapist's job, ultimately, is you solve your own problems by talking about them to somebody. But I can actually do that to myself and remove myself from it as well.
I feel like I've got quite a good situation, because I did talk to somebody for quite a long time. And she got to know me very well. And now, you know, once a year, if I've got a real stumbling block, I just call her for half an hour and talk through that specific issue. But because she knows me so well, she can give me good feedback.
Yes.
It's quite helpful. But there's very little that you and I can't debrief over, like
kind of
chew over.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and I often think a lot of people expect an answer in the same conversation, but I have to have that conversation four or five times
and then go
four
away,
or five days.
Think.
And then you exhaust it to the point where it's obviously crystal clear what you're supposed to do or not do, you know. But I do love the idea about how to be your own therapist. I think it sounds like a great book. Slightly on that subject, I'm going to talk about two movies now. One. You've seen them both, but one I downloaded for when we flew on holiday recently, which was Up in the Air. And Up in the Air was an old George Clooney movie from 2009 that's just come on Netflix.
It's interesting because I'd seen it and I remember I'd loved it, but I couldn't really remember it. So when you talked me through it after you'd seen it, I was like, it was fun because it was like I'd seen it all over again.
So the interesting thing about this movie, and a lot of you might have seen it already, but I'd definitely go back and watch it. It was made in 2009 and you think that you knew the world in 2009, but I can't believe
it's much more backwards than we remember.
There's so many, and this was a modern film about travel and relationships and technology and all sorts of things that are in there, and also a vision and a view of the world that I held also at that time, which I totally don't hold anymore.
Which was?
Well, which was this idea that George Clooney's basically travels for his job a lot, and he's obsessed with collecting air miles, and he's got all these different
cards
for different Hertz hire car, the Hilton rewards points, air miles for American Airways. I just loved the idea that I was this guy who was completely free of responsibility in many ways. He had a small flat somewhere, but he loved his job of traveling around and felt
the
empowered.
Man.
Yeah, like the man.
The man.
I could go anywhere and be anywhere and do anything. But his big goal was to collect 10 million air miles. Only 7 other people in the world had ever done it. More people had landed on the moon than has collected 10 million air miles. And he was on his goal to do that. And then on this journey, he meets two girls. One he has a kind of romantic relationship with. The other one is a girl who comes to work for him, who's a young girl who's just left MIT or one of the big universities anyway, you know, who's kind of smart and clued up and is a modern, young, thinking person. And she can't understand this guy's obsession with low responsibility and enjoying this transient life, you know. So there's a conflict going on there. And it's both of them have got it wrong to a certain extent, but he does public speaking called What's in Your Backpack. And you get to hear some of his public speaking. This is George Clooney playing this character. He wears a backpack, but he says, what's in it? Let's have a little look. Imagine you've got a backpack on. And then he says, now imagine your life is in that backpack. What does that feel like? And he says, start with the small things, pictures, books, stuff on the shelves at home, put them in the backpack. Now take your clothes and put that in the backpack. And then throw in your relationships, your cars and houses and boats and things like that. And he said, feel the weight of it, you know. And the idea is, I think, that his perfect life is that your backpack's virtually empty. You're not carrying anything. You know, you're free. Mm. I felt like that when I watched the film in 2009. But now I carry an enormous backpack. And it makes me feel very happy, largely, to carry the weight of responsibility. I don't understand how you can have a life unless you're carrying some baggage. You know, it's part of the deal, you know. And the baggage is great because you get to delve into it and play around with it from time to time and pull people out of it and spend time with them. You know, I mean, like, it's great. So I remember just how much had changed since 2009. Anyway, it's a great film with a great story and some brilliant moments in it. And you realise just how great George Clooney was. I say was because I haven't seen him in a film for so long, although I believe one's coming out soon with him and Julia Roberts.
Yes, about parents at divorced parents going to their kid's wedding.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's my God.
Really, okay. It looks really funny.
I can't wait for that. I've really missed Clooney, and he's so good, and his voice is so good, and he looks so good on screen. It's a great, great film. So go and watch that. But to tie in with that, when we were on holiday, your kids got us to watch a Disney movie called Soul.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
I had just literally typed in Soul because I was like, we've got to talk about Soul. Yes. That's really, really funny. It's got an 8.
On IMDb.
On IMDb.
And it's under 2 hours?
It was definitely 1 hour 40.
Yeah. I mean, it's the dream. If you've got an 8 and something under 2 hours, it's a dream of a film.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Tina Fey. Graham Norton. Rachel House. Richard Ayoade. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
That's a brilliant cast. The whole thing's great. Anyway, I was a bit reluctant to watch it because I didn't really want to watch a cartoony type movie, but I thought, well, everybody wants to watch it. I'll
I mean,
sit
what
down
were we
it.
Like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
we were
and
sobbing.
I
yeah,
were
yeah, yeah.
sobbing.
And but it very weirdly dovetailed into the Up in the Air. I think that's the point I'm making as I'm tying these two films together. And my recommendation is to watch both of them because there's something about them that are similar but at odds with each other, and it's just about existence and life and love and what's the point of it all, and all that is tied
but
up in both films.
Soul is absolutely a mental health film. It's like to look at yourself and what you have and what you've done and where you're going and who you want to be and who you are. It's amazing.
It's about your soul.
It's one of the greatest films I have ever seen.
It's a great film. So,
and I hadn't wanted to see it because I thought it was just about music and singing.
Yes, because that's the premise. You
it's
think
not.
It's about soul music because he's a musician, he's a jazz pianist, and something happens to him and he finds himself in between life and death with a bunch of souls, essentially, that have not been attributed to a human life yet. And the souls can only go once they've acquired 5 little kind of personality traits or something like that. And there's one particular soul there who's missing one of these traits. And
it's too hard to explain. But they've got to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, but I'll just get to the point I'm making is that you think your life needs a very specific purpose. I think that's the point of the film, is that this little soul thinks it's waiting for its purpose. It has to have a thing that it does. And that's backed up by the idea that this guy's a jazz pianist, that that's his purpose. He has to play music. And of course, that's not it, basically. That's not about having a specific purpose. It's just about a desire to live. And that becomes apparent as the film goes on. But all the time I'm agreeing with the film, and actually the film is disagreeing with itself until that moment. Mm. And it was like a whole shining light had just been placed on me where I thought, oh, I'm wrong about the film, and I'm also wrong about myself. It was like, Jesus Christ, at the end I just had to leave the room and thought, oh my God, like, what's happened to me watching this fucking Disney film? It's really bloody good. So
and sacrifice, that was what I loved about it. That I don't know, it was it was an absolute fucking belter.
It's like reading a book on psychology, basically, yes. If you've read The 12 Rules for Life
but
or something
like that.
Have you
not found that, like, all the latest Disney movies that we've seen have been like that? I mean, I'm going to recommend another one next week.
Yeah.
But...
Okay. But it's great. But Up in the Air is on Netflix and Up is on Disney Plus.
Soul.
Up, sorry. Soul is on Disney Plus. And I really enjoyed... They had big impact on me when I watched Up in the Air first and then Soul immediately afterwards or the following day or something like that. It's really good. The reason I said Up is that Soul is directed and created by the same person who did Up. And if you liked Up, which is also a bloody heartbreaker, right? Give it a whirl.
Great.
It's so nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen.
It's lovely. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
We've tapped into you twice today.
I know. I think I'm going through a big change at the moment.
You are, aren't you?
Kids are leaving school and, you know, all sorts of stuff's going on. It's crazy at the moment. Yeah.
I'm not sure what you call it. Raw. That's what I would call you at the moment.
Life is requiring me to let go of things I don't want to let go of at the moment. It's very difficult.
And change is painful.
Yes, and I thought I was fine about lots of stuff. It's very weird when you think, oh, I've got this under control. And then it goes, yeah, right. But, you know, we're getting there. It's nice to be back. I've missed our therapy sessions.
Well, I really enjoy it. I just enjoy sitting next to you doing it. It's just nice. It's like having a chat.
Thanks to everybody for all your messages over the summer of saying you've been longing for us to
come back.
It's very, very
means
nice
a
to
lot.
Read. But thanks ever so much for giving us so much time off because we really needed
it. We needed it.
Yeah,
didn't we?
We were absolutely whacked.
Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.